Week one of 2017. Everybody survived week one? Only 51 more to go. Are you ready for them? You know, I don't know about you, but it's been hectic. But I want to begin again. I love this church. I love you guys. You guys need to know how special you guys really are as a church. The changes this church has accepted, the experiences this church have been in, and what you guys have done to make this all possible for our church. And I want you to know how much I love this place. And just your willingness to change and to move. You know, 15 years of being a portable church, setting up and tearing down. For those who don't know, 15 years we set up and tore down a church at the middle school. And so we've been on a learning, and you guys have put up with a whole lot. And one of the things we've been doing in our church over the last 13 years or so is we called a 40-day study, a spiritual renewal for our church. Years ago, we used to have revivals. Anybody remember revivals? You know, there used to be two-week revivals, then there were one-week revivals, then there were three-day revivals, all right? Some of you guys can know what I'm talking about. Revivals were kind of a thing of the past, and it's kind of hard to get people to come 7 nights in a row. So we went 3 nights in a row, you know, and then it got Friday night, Saturday night, and then just come Sunday morning, you know. Well, what we did about 13 years ago, we began doing what we call 40-day studies. We've been calling ourselves together on a spiritual renewal, a spiritual growth journey, and we began taking 40 days to grow. We did everything from mission studies. How can I be a better missionary? How can I, you know, Acts chapter 1, verse 18, go into all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the other world. And we did those kind of studies. And the building that you're setting is as a result of one of those studies we did on finances and committing ourselves to raising the money that we could have a place that we don't have to set up and tear down every weekend. And we've done these 40-day studies, and you guys have accepted that. And now we're going to do a 50-day study. How does that sound? All right, we're going to get involved in it. For some of you, this will be your first-time experience. It'll be your first time going through this kind of a journey for us. And our goal is that we want to grow. See, I want you, as we wrap up 2017 in the next 51 weeks, I want you to be better than you are today. Anybody else want that? I want you to grow, and I want you to experience God in new and fresh ways over the next 51 weeks. And that's my goal, and that's what I want us to do. And I wish it was I just had a little magical wand I could wave up here as pastor. Hey, Lord, just bless them, let them grow. And all of a sudden, zap, you guys are just more mature and grow. I wish it was that easy, that you walk through those doors and something happened. But it doesn't work that way. That it's a process that we go through. Here in 2 Corinthians, it says this. We all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Being. Process, right? We're all growing. We're all being trained to the same image. From one degree of glory to another. A process. We're moving along. We're growing from one degree to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. See, it's not some magical words I could say that next year, at the end of this year, you guys are going to go, oh, man, look how much I've grown. Now, just so you know, I put the Message Bible here next. Just I like the way they say this. Look what it says. Same verse, just wrote it a little different. Are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like Him. Now, I'm going to ask you, who here wouldn't want to be brighter and more beautiful at the end of this year? Anybody? You know, as I read that, I'm going, how can I be more beautiful than I am? You know, I mean, come, you know, I don't even need makeup to make this look so good, you know? And you know, well, I need to be more beautiful inside. I don't know about you, but I will have to admit, you know, sometimes there's some things in me that need to change. You know, but that's what I want for us. And so we're going to spend the next 50 days and we're going to attack some of those things in our life. We're gonna talk about spiritual growth, and we're gonna talk about physical growth, our physical growth, and we're gonna talk about emotional health and mental health and relational health, and we'll talk about financial health and even our vocations, our jobs. We're gonna look at those seven areas of our lives over the next 50 days that we start beginning. Like, just so you know, it doesn't start till the 29th. I think the 29th. If I remember correctly, we'll have it all set up. Just enjoy the ride with me as we get ready for it. But I want us to think about those things in our life as we go. And so today I'm just kind of laying a foundation. I'm going to use Ephesians chapter 4 to kind of lay a foundation for our growth, for this spiritual growth that we want to experience in the next 50 days, for those things that we want to happen in our lives. Begin with this point. Every one of us need a coach. Every one of us, if we're going to be transformed, it's going to require some coaching in our lives. Anybody watch football? Anybody here watch football? You watched games last night or something, you know, seen some games. You watch football and you see 11 guys on the field playing, right? But you look at the sideline and it's full of people. I mean, you know, there's only 50, I think there's 54 for football. But there must be 100 plus people running the sidelines over there. Why all those people? Some of them are coaches. They have quarterback coaches. They have line coaches. They have defensive coaches, offensive coaches. They have all sorts of coaches helping the players to be the superstars they are. You know, don't some of you like Sherman, you know, for the Seattle Seahawks? Come on, I like that. Oh boy, I didn't get much of an amen on that one, did I? You notice I'm not talking about, well, I'll talk about them later. Yeah. But we have these coaches, you know, you get backfield coach. They get coaches. Anybody watch golf? Anybody watch golf? Fall asleep? Yeah. Golfers have coaches. You know, they get a coach. Somebody's going to help them, you know. They're having problems putting. They get a putting coach. Swimmers have coaches. Actors have coaches. Singers have voice coaches. Am I right? Yeah. Well, shouldn't we as Christians, shouldn't we, when we want to develop in our spiritual life, understand that we need coaching? I've said there's three things. If you haven't been with me very long, and if you're here for the first time, you've been here not very often, there's three things you need in life. I've been very plain about this since I've been pastor of this church. Three in your life. You need a church. You need a church home, a family. You need a small group, and we're going to talk about that. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. They can look in you in the eye and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. You know? We need those. We need a coach. We need somebody who's going to step alongside of us and help us. They're going to help, let's see, how can I put this? They're going to help maximize my strengths and minimize weaknesses. Did you know I have some weaknesses? I haven't found very many yet, but, you know, I have a few buried somewhere. You know, one of these days they'll show up. You know, if you were here Christmas Day, you've seen one of those weaknesses called spelling and grammar. You know, I know how to spell loss, okay? It's L-O-S-S, not L-O-S-E, all right? I know what I did. Yeah. We all have those, and so we need these coaches, and it's biblical. If you read the Bible, let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the first book, you find a guy named Moses, right? Anybody know the guy named Moses? Not Charlton Heston, but Moses, the real one. All right, you got Moses. He was a coach to a guy named Joshua. All right? You got a prophet named Elijah. He had a coach named Elijah. I get those two confused. Anybody else in that boat getting them confused? Yeah. We got 12 disciples. Guess who their coach was? Jesus. Barnabas was Paul's coach. Paul was Timothy's coach. We need to understand, we need to, if I want to grow, if I want to become mature, if I want to develop in my Christian life, I need a coach. I need somebody who's going to walk in life with me and encourage me and strengthen me and again, maximize my strengths and minimize my weaknesses. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy as Paul was the coach for Timothy. He says, you have heard me teach you things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Paul is sitting there saying, Timothy, I've mentored you, I've coached you, I've tutored you, I've walked with you. Now I want you to find others to walk with. I wanted to ask you during the 50 days as we begin to get ready for this study that you find somebody to walk with. Find somebody that will walk alongside of you during this time. Somebody who can encourage you. Because I guarantee you, you know, during a 50-day study, you know what? Anybody ever get discouraged? I'm sure you're going to have a moment of discouragement. Life may throw a curveball, something may happen. And you need somebody who's going to walk with you. Paul in Ephesians, that chapter that we're going to kind of concentrate on, and he describes kind of various kind of coaches. I want you to see what it says here. Christ chose some of us. Now he said, here's some coaches. Here's some coaches for you. To be apostles and prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, so that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. This will continue until we are united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son. Then we will be mature as Christ is, and we will be complete like him. He's saying, I've sent you some coaches who can help you become mature, can help you grow strong. I've sent you some coaches. And he identified some characteristics, some various coaches. I looked through that list. I kind of thought back on my life. You know, pastors and teachers and evangelists. And you know, one of my coaches that I look at as a coach was a guy named Bill Sims. Some of you guys know Bill. Preached in our church years ago. Bill was an amazing evangelist. Amazing evangelist. I mean, you know, you get in an elevator. We're in Pasadena at a conference. We get in an elevator. And somebody goes, oh, I meant to go down. Bill goes, no, you don't want to go down. And begins to witness to the guy. You know? I sat on a couch and a lady had a picture of a cow and a cowboy. And there was a canyon between the cow and the cowboy. And he's sitting there, how do you get across? And Bill goes, you know, that reminds me of how we're separated from God. Bill just had this gift of evangelism. I remember my pastor, Arthel Lehman. I called him Pastor Lehman. He was kind of like a pastor to me. And I remember when I came to this church, some people wanted to join the church and get baptized. And they wanted to get baptized. All right, I know what it's that bad. It's easy to baptize in a baptistry. We had a fun pool out there. That's real easy. What do you do when you go to the river? I had no idea what to do. So I called my pastor, Brother Lehman. They want me to baptize in the river. Any wisdom for me? He goes, baptize them head up river. Okay. Why? He says, the water will help push them up and not down. All right, I'll remember that one. Yeah. We have coaches. We need coaches in our lives. Somebody who's going to maximize our strength and minimize our weakness. And so I'm going to challenge you during this 50 days that we're going to be in this study. Find somebody you can walk with. Now, I'm going to be real specific here. Don't let it be your spouse, okay? You know, Laura can tell me a lot of things, but there's some things, Laura, never mind. You know, there's some things you don't want to hear from your spouse. Anybody on board with that one? You know, don't go there. You know, so you need somebody who can tell you the heart, the coach. You know, we watch these superstars. You know, and it's like, they don't do it on their own. There's somebody behind the scene. I want to ask you, who's going to coach you? Who will coach you? If you want to be different next year, who's going to walk through? Who's going to be with you? Second one I put down here is transformation requires learning the truth. Transformation requires learning the truth. This is something our world does not want today. I'm just going to tell you. Our world does not want to know the truth. No truth. All right? I'm not talking about just the truth of Jesus Christ, okay? They don't want to know truth. I'm sitting there this morning, and I my newspaper is called the Internet. Anybody read the Internet for news? That's my newspaper. So I turn on the news, pop up the thing, start reading the news. One of the little blogs sits there and say, killer whales are not... Okay. Killer whales aren't happy. You know? SeaWorld not going to do killer whale shows anymore. You know, they're going to free the killer whale. I'm sitting here going... A baby's heartbeat, 4 weeks after conception, there's a heartbeat. Blood is pumping inside that child. But they don't want to know the truth. Am I right? They're worried about, now I'm going to tell you, how do I say this? I don't want to be cruel. I don't worry about killer whales, all right? No, I'm going to be a good steward. I don't want to abuse animals. I don't want to do anything like that. But I'm more worried about a baby. But they don't want to know the truth. You know, they don't want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. watching the show on TV on Scientology with Leah, anybody? I can't remember her last name. Watch that show. It's really good. Because they're pursuing truth, but they won't let you check it out. I'm going to tell you what. When I get done preaching, you take your Bible and read it, okay? Check me out. I'm more than willing. I want you to think. Matter of fact, one of the points we're going to talk about in just a minute, I want you to think new, okay? Yeah. But we need to understand that there's a truth there. And that we want people to know the truth. You want your marriage to be different? Well, look at the truth of God's word. Anybody? You want your finances to be different? Look at God's principles. Look at the truth. Yeah. I love one of the commercials I see on TV. Your house is your new bank. We just lost all the equity in our homes, and now they're advertising again that your house is your new bank. Financial truth. Yeah. What's God's principles say? God has really good principles. Save, give, spend. Not more than you make. So we need to hear that truth. Look at what it says here. And this is Jesus. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. See, he's saying that word sanctify means to be made complete. It means to be washed, to be clean, to be made complete, to grow up, to be mature, to be transformed. Let the truth transform you. Let the truth make you more beautiful. Make you brighter. Let the truth work in your life. What area do you need to grow? Where do you need the truth? We're going to look at seven areas. What area is that truth going to help? Look at what it says here. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer, why don't you circle that, no longer. You'll be no longer immature. And you won't be tossed. I circled won't be tossed. And blown away by every wind of new teaching. Do we hear the word? One of the things that surprised me during this last year was somebody saying this. We need to update the Bible to make it fit our culture. I was just, wait a minute. I think it works the other way. We need to upgrade our culture to fit the Bible. I mean, if you want a better year next year, I just love this. I mean, and blown away by every wind of new teaching, you know, whatever. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You can believe anything on the internet, right? Everything on the internet is true. Come on. Right? It's all truth. There's no fake news. I was so surprised when they were talking about fake news during the election. I don't believe half the stuff I read on the internet. And I read, you need to know, I read Fox News, kind of tells you where I'm at. But I read Google News. It's like, okay, who's covering what? What's they saying? I read both. You know? I want to know what the truth is. You know? And so I want to challenge this, and this sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Circle that. In love. In love. In love. I'm going to speak the truth in love. Growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is head of the body, the church. Would anybody do you want to be better next year, this year? You know, as you wrap up next year, wouldn't it feel good to be brighter and more beautiful inside? And that's what God wants. And we need to know the truth, and that truth's going to set us free, he says. And that's what he wants in our lives. Look at what it says here on Jesus again. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. I circled my word. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's word sets you free. Anybody agree with that? See, this is what, as a pastor, what I want people to know is, I'm have life living by biblical principles. Anybody else? Just living those principles, it's like, did I miss anything in life? You know, yes, I did. You know what I missed? All sorts of heartache. You know what? I missed all sorts of negative things that would hurt. And we need to see this in God's Word, and we need to understand God's Word. And He says, my Word, which is the Word, which is the Bible. Let me give you a little hint. Those 50 days, guess what you're going to read a lot of? The Bible. All right? Let me give you another little hint. You're not going to like this, all right? Nobody ever likes this part of the 40-day study. Now it's a 50-day study. Nobody ever likes this part of the study. Are you ready? You got to memorize some of the Bible. You right? You guys are going, ugh. You can't memorize. You're going to say, I can't memorize anything. You know your phone number? Your address? Yeah. Yeah. Now you got your phone. You don't have to know anything, right? Yeah. But listen what God's Word does. I like this right here. Every part of Scripture is God breathed. Every part, all right? Don't pick and choose. I like this part. I don't like this part. This is good. This doesn't work. Every part of Scripture is God breathed and useful one way or another. Now here, look at these four things. Show us the truth, expose our rebellion, correct our mistakes, and train us to live life God's way. What do you think? Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Isn't that nice? See, so during this study, you're going to be in God's Word, okay? So get prepared. And I want to challenge you to read God's Word. To spend time every day in God's Word. See, that 50 days that you do, you need to know there's a little devotion that goes along with it. There's a memory verse for every week. There's all sorts of little things for us to do. Challenge you in those ways and challenge you to become all of that. Now, the next point, I kind of planted a seed. It's called thinking. Transformation requires new thinking. We need to think different. All right? How can I say this? The way you think comes from the way you feel. You act a certain way. All right? I still remember a professor when I was in junior college would walk into class, my psychology professor, big 2-foot letters across the board, write one word. Think. T-H. I can spell that. I-N-K. He would write think across the board. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I had that. He'd write think. And that's what I love about God. God wants us to think. God doesn't want you to be a zombie. You know, God doesn't, you know, just so you know, I don't think zombies exist, but God doesn't want any anyway, all right? You know, you can watch all those movies you want. They're not real, all right? You know? God wants us to think. God gave you a head to use, not just to hold a hat on, okay? You know? Think. And so how you think influences how you feel, which influences how you act. So if you want to change your action, what do you got to do? You got to change your thinking. You got to change the way you think. Change the way you think about money. Change the way you think about sex. Change the way you think about marriage. Change the way you think about your job. You know, we got to change. We need to change that thinking of ours. Look at what it says here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. For God, for good, pleasing, and perfect. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I watched people during this cultural revolution we're having during the 2016. And the problem is, guess what? They don't know the Bible. Well, that's okay. Change the way you think. You know, as you look at the world and, well, everything's okay and everybody's okay. You know what? I love everybody. I'm going to tell you this. I love everybody. People have been mean to me. Anybody ever been mean to you? People call me names. Anybody ever call you a name? I'm sitting at a meeting. They're walking around. Something stinks here. You know who they're talking about? Me. And I had taken a shower. You know, but they're saying I stink. You know, I've had a lady in front of our old blue church look at me and go, Gary, you know, to my face. You know, my comment to her was really simple. You know, I'm okay with that. Because some people are going to like me. And honestly, I have to be honest. Some people are going to hate me. I don't get that. I'm such a lovable guy. You know, I don't get that. But, you know, that's the truth. Some people, but you need to know, that girl needed things. Guess who she called? She called myself and my wife. Her kid swallowed a penny. Her kid swallowed a metal detector. So who did she call? You know, I wasn't going to look for it. Yeah. So she still came back. See, we got to love everybody. It doesn't matter, but I got to change the way I think. If I want to influence what I think, look at what it says here. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. The wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. I like the Message Bible. Listen to this. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. I like that. Yeah. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. Look at our world. How many thinks the world's stupid right now besides me? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. The world's crazy right now. They don't want to know the truth. And they're not going to change the way they think. You know, I can think whatever I want. I can be whoever I want. Look at our world. I want this to be a different year than last year. I think last year was a mess. I don't get it. How did we get here? The decisions that political leaders make, even the dumb decisions I've made. I made some poor decisions last year. I don't know about you, but you know, I made my, you know, that stupid thing. Here's the thing. I'm not stupid, but I sometimes make stupid decisions. You know, it's like we need to understand that. We need to change that way in our lives. Look at what it says here in Ephesians. In the Lord's name, I tell you, do not continue living like those who do not believe. Isn't that a good line? You might want to underline that line. Don't live like the rest of the world. Don't live like the rest of the world. Their thoughts are worth nothing. They do not understand, and they know nothing because they refuse to listen. You ever have a conversation with somebody that's crazy out there and they won't even listen to you? You're trying to explain to them, you're trying to tell them the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth. Anybody? They don't want to listen. Yeah, it's amazing how 2,000-year-old scripture is still true today. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. I don't know. We just don't change. So they cannot have the life that God gives. They have lost all feeling of shame. They use their lives for doing evil. They continually want to do all kinds of evil. Does that sound like our world today? Yeah. Listen, we got to change the way we think. But here's what I want to make sure you see. Look what it says. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I wasn't going to put that verse in there, but I knew I couldn't quote them, so I put it in there. Because I can't get all 9 of them all the time. That's memory verse for me, maybe. But that's what God wants to develop. How about that new thinking? How would the world change? I think love, joy, peace. How would my life be different if I think, and can I skip patience? Some of you that know me, you won't let me skip it, will you? Self-control. We need to change the way we think. I want a different year. So this study, we're going to have some time to change the way we think. We're going to have some time to look at what we're doing in our lives and see how we can. Next one I put down here is this. Transformation requires cleaning house. Anybody got all your Christmas decorations down? Not me. Not yet. What are you doing today at 4? Come on down. We're going to take some of this stuff down today at 4. You can join us as we take our Christmas decorations. My tree's up. If my wife had her way, I know she's listening, it would still be up all year, okay? She would never have Christmas tree down if my wife had her way. All right? Yeah. I go away for a day or two. I come back. She got more Christmas stuff out of the garage and put it up. You know? But sometimes we got to clean house. Sometimes we got to clean out some stuff. You know, we look at our lives and it's like there's some things that need to change, that need to be modified, that need to, well, look at what it says here. Get rid of your old self. Don't you like that? I circled get rid of. Get rid of. There's some things to get rid of your old self, which made your life as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. So it's time to clean house, to change. There's things that we need to make different. You know, we're going to do one on, look at that, leave you, you know, spiritual. We're going to grow spiritually healthy, physically healthy. Those who know me know I like candy. Okay? And one piece isn't enough. All right? I enjoy candy and cookies, and we'll sit around the house and Laura and I'll be there, and it's like, when we go shopping, let's buy some cookies. A matter of fact, let's get some potato chips and talk about that. Then we go to the store and we go shopping together, you know, and I push the cart and it's like, do you want the potato chips? You said you wanted potato. No, I don't want potato chips, because if I have potato chips in the house, guess what? I'll eat the potato chips. If I have candy in the house, guess what? I eat candy. We just went to Disneyland. I didn't eat a piece. I love fudge at Disneyland. They make it right there. They make it right there. I love the fudge. I didn't get a piece. You know what I had in Disneyland? Carrots. Apples. Grapes. I had my grandkids with me. That's what we packed in that. We didn't pack candy in the bag. Who wants to eat carrots when you're at Disneyland? You want the fudge, you know, that caramel-covered apple, you know, just dripping with chocolate. Come on. Sometimes we got to clean our house. Now, you guys know where your stash is at your house of candy, right? You guys got your stash. You know, I did the thing called the Daniel Plan about 3 years ago. My home group did a Daniel Plan. I lost about 17 pounds. Guess what? I found it. You know, if I want to be healthy, I'm going to have to clean house, right? I want my marriage to be better, I'm going to have to clean house, right? Let me tell you, you're going to have to clean house. Maybe you need to watch TV shows you watch. Ooh. Now, I'm not talking about porn, okay? You know, I already have the TV blocked on my TV. I don't know about you, I got grandkids. I don't want my grandkids coming in and turning the TV on and seeing things I don't think they should see. So I already got that parental control thing set on my TV. But you want to know something? There's shows on TV that I don't watch because of thoughts it puts in my head. I don't watch that show. No, I'll tell Laura, I really want to watch that show. I'll tell her that because I do want to watch that show. But I won't watch the show. Even though it's not porn, it's just what they wear, how they talk, what they show, you know, too much. Internet? We got to clean our house on our internet? Relationships? See, we need to get rid of some of this stuff in our life. If I want a different year, I got to get rid of some stuff. I need to clean the house. Look at what it says. Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down. It slows us down. Especially sin. I like that. You know, it didn't limit it to sin. I want to make sure you see that. It didn't say it slow everything, all the sin down. Everything. Everything. Oreo cookies got to go. Lay's potato chips have to go. Channels have to go. Then it's Christmas time and people give you cans of fudge, bags of yeast, caramel corn. And you sit there doing a puzzle and you're just putting your puzzle together. You know? Nice box of C's, candy sitting there. Ah, temptation. Isn't the devil real? Some of you guys are the, never mind, I'm not going to say that. No, I don't mean that. You know, isn't it fun though? Think about it. We got to clean our house. We want to make things different. I got to clean my house. It might, know what? I got to quit reading the newspaper so much and start reading my Bible a little bit more. You know, you put those earbuds in your ear to hear music. Let me tell you something. You know there's a Bible app that reads the Bible to you? So you can say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. You listen to music? Yeah, well, hey, download the YouVersion. He'll read it to you. Do we need to clean house? We need to make some changes. We must run the race that lies ahead of and never give up. Like I said, I went through the Daniel plan, lost 17 pounds. That 17 pounds have come on, plus one or two more, all right? Anybody? I got to start all over again. I'm not going to give up, all right? I'm going to go back and eat carrots at Disneyland, all right? You know, a whole bag of carrots. You know, Laura always says, I like those. What are those little orange things? Like cuties. Those are good. That's healthy physically. What about spiritual health? What about emotional health? Mental health? Financial health? Relational health? We're going to talk about this. Your job health. Excuse me. What about all those in our lives? We got a clean house. I got to pick it up a little bit here. Transformation requires honest community. Not only do you need a coach, you need a community. You need, let me put it this way, you need a small group. This church is all about the Bible and Bible study, okay? That is a passion of mine. When I was in school studying to be a pastor, going to school, they asked me to come on staff to run the education program in the church because I believe the Bible study is the essence of what we need in church. That you've word, and I believe when you put God's word in your heart, guess what changes you? God does. You're not going to change because Gary said something. I'll be honest with you. You guys are going to walk out of here, and I got 6 points of you, and you're not going to be able to tell me one of them. I have no vision. You guys, oh, they're going to memorize everything Gary said. Oh, isn't Gary so wonderful? It don't work that way. But if I can get you to read your Bible and get you in a small group studying God's Word, guess what? God will change you. Am I right? So you need that community. You need that, just that honest community, that those people that will walk with you. Look at what it says. So you must stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth, because we all belong to each other in the same body. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you, you need this group. You need to be part of that team, part of that group. See, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's those who know they're messed up, and there's those who pretend they're not. You notice what I said? I said they pretend they're not. All right? See, there's those of us who know I am messed up. It don't take much for Gary to mess up. It comes real quick. But there's others who want to put a show on that they're okay. I've got life under control. Isn't life so good? You know, they put the nice mask on for Sunday. Anybody ever have those people around? You know, look really good on Sunday? Look at what it says, the same verse. Look at how it says this. No more pretense. Message Bible. No more pretense. Quit pretending. Quit playing. You're not fooling anybody. Anybody that comes to me and says, you know, I got life under control. My mind is going like this. You're just lying to me. Matter of fact, you might even be lying to yourself. Because we're all, I'm going to be on, you're, I'm going to, let me help you out. You don't have to say it to you. I'll tell you. You're messed. All right? You're messed up. I don't know where you're messed up at, but you're messed up. We all are. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, I don't know. We're messed up. Quit pretending. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. See, I just told you the truth. In Christ's body, we'll all be connected to each other. So if you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Isn't that great? That we speak, we walk with one, encourage one another. That's what group is. I want, just, I'm going to give you a little hint right now. I want you in a group. My goal for this 50-day study is 15 groups. You need to know that. Could be just you and one other person. Maybe you and your family. I don't know. Maybe you and a neighbor. I don't know. But I want you in a group, because I want you to be like that we started out with. More beautiful and blessed. Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. See, that's our challenge. See, that's what happens in a group. I want to tell you, you come to the group, it's unconditional love. We accept you. Here's the key to understand. God loves you no matter how messed up you are. But the good news is, He wants to help you get out of it. Did you know that? God loves you no matter what. But He loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you that way. He wants you to be changed. He wants you nude. He wants you to be made new. He wants to help you change. And that's where that small group comes in. And we walk with one another. There's this unconditional love. And we're there for one another. And we help one another. And we serve one another. And we care for one another. You know what's exciting for me as a pastor? Somebody goes to the hospital. And when I walk into the hospital, their home group is sitting there, already praying for them and talking with them. I have that in this church. Calling them. See, that's what's encouraging to me. That's what this is all about. We're in this together. We cannot survive. Anybody that tells me, I don't need anybody but God, you're lying. You're lying to me and you're lying to yourself. We need one another. We need that community, that honest community. We're not going to rub things in. Look at what it says. Be kind to one another. Don't do that. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 4. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. See, I have this rule for me and for this church. You need to hear this. This is a rule in this church. You cannot talk about or criticize anybody else in this church unless you're willing to walk through life with them. You hear me? Yeah. Nobody gave you the permission to straighten somebody out. Did God say, I view you as a straighter outer? I've had somebody tell me, not in this church, God's given me the gift of discernment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys have been in church a long time. You know what I'm talking about. I have that rule. Don't criticize anybody. Don't talk about anybody. Don't point anything out on anybody unless you're willing to walk with them through that challenge in their life. Does that make sense? That's what the small group is about. You know, if I give you one word for me in this church, it's called the word grace. Write that word down there somewhere. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about God's grace. We have a phrase, if you go out, I'm going to challenge you, go out, turn around and look above this door. Seriously, you go out and you turn around, you look above this door. Because that's what I want this church known for. They will know we are the disciples of Jesus Christ by our love for one another. See, when somebody stumbles here, I want our group picking them up. I want us lifting each other up. I want us walking with one another. I want us being, and that's where that small group comes in. That's where that coach comes in. That's what God wants in our life. And that's what I want us to see in our church. Now let me give you four rules. Here's four rules we have in our group, for me and our home groups. Four quick rules. What's said in the home group, what? Stay, you guys know that. What's said in the home group stays in the home group. All right? Don't minimize anybody's feelings, just listen. All right? Don't fix anybody, just listen. One person to work on is you. All right? That's what a small group's all about. We're there to walk through life with one another and to help each other. And so I'm going to challenge you next week. Next week, no bones about this. I'm kind of hard now. You think I'm hard today? You wait till next week. I want you in a group. And it's not because, oh, I'm the pastor. I want more numbers. I want 15 groups. No. Because I know what it can do for your life. I look at Jesus' little group. Jesus had 12 guys. Anybody? He had a little group of 12 guys. 12 guys that were fishermen. 12 guys that he told one time, hey, Satan, get behind me. 12 guys that he told them, you just don't have enough faith. Is that what he said? And yet 12 guys who changed the world. And I believe we can change our world. I believe your best time of your life is still ahead of you. I really believe that. But we need those groups to be around. Let me get this last one in real quick. Transformation requires faith. You're going to have faith. You're going to have to believe you can do this. You're going to have to believe you can memorize a Bible verse a week. It's not that hard. If you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't. It's just the way it is. You've got to have faith. See, I believe God wants to do great things in your life. Do I believe more than you do? Think about that. I believe God wants things in every one of your lives. There's not a person here that God doesn't do great things in. I believe that for you. Do you believe it? I want you to think about that. Do you have the faith? Look at what it says. No, glory be to God. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us. By his mighty power at work within us. Now, is it willpower? I'm strong. It's his power. Circle that. His mighty power. It's not your power to change your life, okay? I'm going to give you a little hint here. You can't change your life, all right? Give up. Give up and give it to God. How's that sound? Within us. He is able to do far more than you would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinity beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hope. God is able. Anybody on board with that one? God's able. God can do it. And then my verse. This is my verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I believe that verse. I can do all things through him. Now, am I perfect? No. Am I good? Honestly, no. But you know what? My God's not done with me yet. Isn't that nice? And he's not done with you yet. The best is still ahead of you. And it doesn't matter what you can do. I believe that verse. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And it's not about me and my weaknesses, my faults. It's about God. You know, as I was reading this verse and thinking about this message this morning, I reflected back when I was in college. My literature class at Cal Baptist. I'm sitting in class, and I finished the class. And just so you know, I think many of you have been with me a while. You know my English is real poor. My grammar, my spelling is not my strength. Matter of fact, it's real, real weak. I'd get A's on tests from Dr. Hyatt. I'd get C's on paper and got to be in his class every time. Every time. A's test, C on my term papers, B in the class. A in the test, term papers, B in the class. The only class I got an A from him in was Greek. Because there was no paper. I still remember my literature teacher walking through, giving us our grades. Now, when I was in college, B pluses and B minuses made a difference, okay? You know, those pluses and minuses add up in college. I remember this professor sitting at his desk as I walked by, he gave me my paper. Here's his words to me. He says, Gary, I don't know how you got this B minus spelling the way you spell. I don't know either. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. See, I want to ask you, do you have the faith? Do you have the faith? I'm going to challenge you this morning with one specific challenge. If you open your worship folder up, there's a green piece of paper in there. On that green piece of paper, I'm asking you to be a host. I don't know how to be a host. I don't know what to do. Well, guess what? I'll help you. We'll help you. I need 15 home groups. That's my goal. We've had 10 and we've had 11 in the church, but we've never had 15. And I want 1,500. And again, a home group, it can be you and your neighbor or your sister or your brother or your uncle. It could be you and it could be a coworker at work that has a DVD player and you just play it there. Whatever. And it might be a group of 7 or 8. I got a Monday night group. I know I already got one. I haven't filled mine out, but I'm going to have one for Monday night for my group. And Wednesday night. But I need 15. Are you willing to step? You know, I don't know enough. I don't know. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paper's real easy. Just open your house. Anybody here have a DVD player? Anybody got a DVD player? We only got one DVD player in the church? Man, you guys, this is really bad. I thought we had some DVD players. I guess I got to buy DVD players too. You know? I want to challenge you. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock, I'm going to do a host gathering. I'll give you the DVD Sunday. Now, those who get the book, you guys get the DVD and the book. Those who sign up to be host, you get the book and the DVD a week before everybody else. How does that go? See? I'll give you a blessing. I'll give you the book and the DVD a week ahead of time. So next week at 4 o'clock. Now, you need to know, that's a sacrifice for me. 4 o'clock is a sacrifice for me. Because the Cowboys will probably be on TV. All right? So they're going to be playing either New York or Green Bay. I haven't decided yet. I'll find out later today. And so I'm sacrificing my sports team to be there for you. All right? So I need 15. I want you to make a commitment. If you're willing to do that. And again, you don't have to. You can do it at your home. We have a group meeting here at church on Thursday morning. Wherever you want to do it, it might be. No. But I want you to take it. You need to know, we've had a group take this to Mexico. Took one of our studies to Mexico and did it with her family in Mexico. And so I want to challenge you. You can look at the book. You can look at the DVD back there. There's lesson helps for you. I'll go over all that next week. But I'm looking for 15. I'm challenging you this morning to be a part. Do you have the faith? You have the faith? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm looking for a better year next year. You on board? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for all that you say, that your word is true, that you love us beyond all we can bear, that you want us to grow spiritually, you want us to be physically healthy, you want us to be mentally and emotionally well, that you want us to be relationally well, Lord, that you want us to have financial stewardship, and you want us successful in our jobs and our work. Lord, as we look forward to this study, we look forward to the 50 days that we'll spend with you in the Word. Help us be your people, the people of faith, the people who follow, the people who serve. You know, as I'm praying, and if you're contemplating being a group leader, and you want me to pray for you, would you shoot your hand up and say, I'm thinking, thank you, I see those hands, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you, I see those hands, thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who are setting a challenge, Lord. By faith, they raise their hand, Lord, to host, to be a tool that you can use in the hearts of others. Encourage them, strengthen them, give them the confidence, give them the assurance. It's not willpower, it's not their knowledge, it's the power of God that will work through them in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's pause and end of our invitation. I know I went long. I thought I had it down 6 minutes a point. I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't do well. But I appreciate you staying with me. But I'm telling you, God's not done. Maybe there's some things you need to clean out of your house right now.